It's actually been 2 weeks since we had class because, you know, last week we had canceled the morning service in case we had the bad weather. And so because it's been 2 weeks since we had class, I want to very, very briefly just review what we talked about 2 weeks ago so that we will know where we are and so forth. So if you'll take a look at Matthew chapter 18, this is the fourth discourse of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, the fourth out of five. And this really has to do with relationships in the kingdom and how we view others and how we treat others, the relationships that we have with one another, and various issues that may arise in those relationships. And we got down to pretty much through verse 9. There's a couple of other things I want to say about the about this section before we move on to verse 10. But in this, what we have is beginning with a question, and Jesus' reply to this is who's the greatest in the kingdom? Remember, they're thinking Jewish thinking of kingdom. They're thinking power and roles in the kingdom, various officials and places of honor and so forth. You and I grew up thinking, and still, of course, are taught and think of it this way, of spiritual kingdom. That's not the way that they would have grown up with that idea, or with the idea of the kingdom. They would have grown up with the idea of a military kingdom, of a typical earthly kingdom. And so when they ask, the disciples come to Jesus, verse 1, and ask, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know, there might be a little bit of selfishness involved in this. That's not necessarily the case, but there might be some of that. We do know that a couple chapters later with James and John's mother, you know, they were talking about, or she was asking him to make them right-hand man, left-hand man kind of thing. But who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And so he calls, it says, verse 2, a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. And the point that I made to you 2 weeks ago was that children in that society at that time were inconsequential as far as a kingdom was concerned. I mean, kids, little children, have no influence, no bearing on a kingdom. And so they would not have been thought of as great in the kingdom. And Jesus says, oh no, you need to become like a little child. You need to be changed, converted like a little child. Change your thinking about who is great, about what it takes to be great in the kingdom. It's not the way that you're thinking of it. Everyone is important to God. Even little children are important. In that society, who else besides the little children would have been inconsequential in a kingdom? Women. Okay, and yet, as we see over and over again in Scripture, no matter what the race, no matter what the background, no matter whether you're male or female, whether you're a slave or free, whether you're a child or not, you're all equal in God's eyes. Okay, so their question comes from a standpoint or perspective that needed to change. They needed to have a paradigm shift. And so everyone is important to God, and that's why he calls the little child to him and says that you need to become like this. You need to humble yourself. You need to be dependent upon God and trusting in God and you know, be in this manner, this kind of a thinking and behavior versus approaching this question of the line of reasoning they were coming from. And then in verses 6 through 35, he uses this as a springboard, still talking about relationships, still talking about who's in the kingdom and who is great in the kingdom, to go on to explain the importance of everyone and how we treat everyone because of the way God thinks of everyone. And if this is the way God is, if this is the way God views